time.
Mary Bass has been moved out of ICU to regular room.
Mary Bass has been moved from ICU. Okay. Would you lead us in prayer, please, as we start?
Thank you, Lord and God, for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to come here tonight to listen to your word, to refresh ourselves, to encourage each other, and to learn more about you. We pray, God, that you continue to write your word upon our hearts, that we will be attentive and open-minded to learn new things. We pray, God, that you'll grant us wisdom and that you will give us the ability to make good choices and decisions in our lives. We thank you so much for Mary's health recovery so far. We pray, God, you continue to watch over her, and we pray for also other people on our list for the things that they need. There are many who have needs. We pray, as we have opportunity, we will take that time to help them as well. We ask you be with us during this study. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, if you'd like to get your Bible out, we're starting on John chapter 6, verse 35. John 6, verse 35. And in that verse, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Okay, before we get started with this passage, I would like to go back, and I always like to do this, to look at a little bit of history of what brought us to this point, and then we'll proceed forward. And we'll see here in a second. Jesus had just completed a miracle where he had fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish. And at the end of this feeding, they were really wanting Jesus to become their king and maybe even force him to be their king. And Jesus left them to go across Galilee, and they followed him to the other side, and Jesus accused them of following him only to fulfill their empty bellies, because that's what he had just done. He had given them food. And he then turned at this point and used this as a teaching moment to talk to them about spiritual matters and a different type of bread. So let's go back and look at the history of bread in the Bible and some things, and we'll go forward from there. First of all, there's many times when we use a word, it can have different meanings. If I said the word bread, if I said I'm going to the store to get some bread, what does that mean? Okay, that type of bread. If a guy had just robbed a bank and he run out and the guy driving the car says, did you get the bread? What did he mean? This is an old slang term. The cash, the money. Okay, and we see also in this particular instance when Jesus is talking to the bread of life, that is not a bread that we physically would eat, but a bread that spiritually sustains us. And we'll look into that this evening. So we know that food, bread/food, is needed to sustain our life. When we take the communion bread on Sundays, okay, is that bread essentially sustaining our life? Not our physical life, okay? Spiritually, it draws us closer to God, but that's not, again, it does have some nourishment in it, but that's not the purpose of the fruit of the vine and the loaf. Okay, so first of all, there is a natural type of bread, which is the food type of bread. And in particular, it doesn't always mean bread in itself. In the Lord's Prayer, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, does that mean bread in particular? Yeah, that's just our nourishment. It could be pizza, our daily bread. It could be whatever we need to eat to survive, okay? But it is talking about physically sustaining our life. Give us this day our daily bread that we need, God. So in that case, bread means the physical type that sustains. Another type of bread we see in the Bible is a miraculous bread. I already alluded to one type of bread that we've seen in the Bible. Miraculous is when Jesus fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish. You remember another type of bread in the Old Testament that was a miracle from God, and there was the manna, and where did it come from? From heaven. And God was a master, of course. The more I read and study the Bible, I just see that God did something 2,000 years later, there was something that tied back to something he had done 2,000 or 3,000 years before. And we'll get into that this evening, but there's something significant about the bread, the manna, coming from heaven. Okay, so that was a miraculous bread. So we've talked about a natural bread, a miraculous bread, and we go forward a little bit past this time where the manna come, we go to the time where there was unleavened bread. What is the idea of the unleavened bread? Would somebody tell me how unleavened bread came about and what the significance of that was with the Jewish people?
They had to leave Egypt in a hurry, and they had to have bread that was not needed to rise.
Right. They had to leave in a hurry. They had to leave what behind? The leaven. They went forward without the unleavened bread. The Passover, the angel of the Lord passed over. So the Passover feast is synonymous with unleavened bread. So, if you will, another message here. God delivered Israel from Egypt. Okay? God delivered Israel from Egypt. And along with that, again, the unleavened bread was significant at that time. We today partake of unleavened bread. That's not significant in that God delivered us from Egypt. What is that unleavened bread? What did God deliver us from? Sin through? Through Jesus. So again, another parallel. And you see a lot of times in the Bible there's something called a parallel scripture or parallel events. And again, the manna from heaven, and we'll study here later, there's an example of that in the New Testament, something coming down from heaven that sustains life. The fruit of the vine and the bread that we take delivers us, in a sense. It's remembering Jesus Christ, but through that we're being forgiven of our sins, and it's delivering us from Satan, delivering us from the evil one, and delivering us from sin, just like God delivered the people of Israel from the nation of Egypt. Okay, so we have unleavened bread was very common. Another type of bread we see in the Bible is showbread. I did a lot of studying on this last Sunday morning. I actually cheated a little bit. I used this for a sermon at another church because I knew I was going to do this, so I looked ahead a little bit, if that's cheating. But in looking, I found some interesting points on showbread. And again, I'm trying to tie all this history in to where Jesus is going with this. And if you go back and study, and I won't read these this evening, but it's Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 through 8, if you want to take note. Exodus 25, verses 20 and 30, and Numbers 4, 7. Back when the showbread, okay, if you recall, and I'd like to stand up here and show you, but basically in the temple, and every church building I've ever been in, ever, has a nice oak table up here. Beautiful oak. I love oak, okay? But that wouldn't have been sufficient in the temple. They had a table built of acacia wood, inlaid in gold, I think gold around the legs, just a magnificent structure. And what would happen, who was allowed to bake the showbread? Does anybody remember? Who was allowed to bake the showbread? Anybody remember? Levites, why? Right. And the showbread was made on the Sabbath. Okay. However, you and I or anybody else living could not make showbread on the Sabbath. That was illegal. And again, in the New Testament, we see Jesus was questioned for taking the showbread. And we'll talk about that in a second. So going back to the showbread, when the showbread was placed on this table, okay, God commanded in Scripture that it was to always be present on that table. Always. So what happened on the Sabbath day, and there was also frankincense there that was being burned, and what happened on the Sabbath day, I believe there was four people according to Jewish custom, and some brought the frankincense in, but I'm just talking about the showbread. Two priests would bring in the showbread, and the old showbread would be taken and eaten by whom? The high priest would then eat it. So I never thought of this before. If that always had to be there, this is just a little trivial nugget. If that always had to be there, did they set the new showbread down first or remove the old showbread first? Technically. If it always had to be there, if I picked it up, and again, I know this is splitting hairs, but I know God of the Old Testament was very precise on things that he did. So my understanding was the showbread was set there, and then the old was taken up, and I'd never thought about that before, just thought that was interesting. And again, that's not a thus saith the Lord, but I'm just inferring there that if it always had to be there, according to Scripture, that if it picked up for a second, it wasn't, and that would, you know, not have been what God commanded. Then the priest took the showbread back and ate that, okay? The old showbread, the new hot that was just made was setting there. Okay, so what was the significance in the New Testament? They accused Jesus. They questioned Jesus. Well, what did David do in particular with this showbread? Okay, he ate some. And again, my guess would have been it would have been the hot showbread because the old showbread was being eaten by the priests. Okay? So Jesus then quickly said what? What did he say? What was his answer to them? Well, David come in and ate the showbread. What was Jesus' answer? Was the Sabbath? Right. Okay, so Jesus is basically saying, you know, in a sense, they were trying to transition from the days of the Sabbath, and he was trying to change them to see that people's hearts, people's needs are more important under this new law that Jesus was establishing. Okay, so that's a little background on the showbread. Another thing, the Hebrew word in Leviticus 24:5, the Hebrew word for cake is challah, C-H-A-L-L-A-H, which means pierced, punctured, or wounded. Does that sound familiar? Showbread, excuse me. The Hebrew word for cake is shalah, which means pierced, punctured, or wounded. Okay, which I think we'll see in the New Testament. Very similar to Christ's body. Very similar to what we do up here when we break bread with the Lord on Sundays. Okay, and the last type of bread, which is what the lesson is about this evening. I wanted to give you some examples this evening, but there was a point that all of these mentions of bread sort of tie in to what Jesus then now was alluding to. And the bread we're talking about this evening, again in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Okay, the natural bread that we eat, any type of food, it is earthly, it is corruptible, it does not sustain, it feeds the body. After a while, we're hungry again. What's this bread that Jesus is talking about here? I am the bread of life. It's not show bread. It's not miraculous bread. It is not unleavened bread or any of the other types of bread we've talked about. What is he referring to when he says, I am the bread of life? Okay. Right. It involves eternity, believing in Christ. So when I eat bread, I had some pizza, which contains some bread this evening before supper, that had some bread content. That bread nourishes my body and sustains me physically, okay? I will be hungry again probably by 9 o'clock or more, I mean, for sure tomorrow morning, okay? It's going to wear off. But Jesus is saying, and we're going to study this evening, the bread that he's offering doesn't sustain us physically, has nothing to do with me physically existing. The bread that he is going to furnish us in this life does what? How does it sustain us? Spiritually. It sustains our heart, our being, what makes us go in this world. And we never hunger and thirst when we have Christ in our hearts and in our spirit, and we have Christ into our lives. That doesn't wear off. I'm not going to be hungry again tomorrow. God will give you all you can handle. If you seek him, he'll give you all you can study, all you want to learn. He will challenge you. He will take you to places that you didn't think you were capable of going and reaching. And God can do wonders. And he has with men and women throughout time. And when we seek God, he will take us where he wants us to go. And when we say Jesus is the bread of life, also understand that coincides with God as well, okay? And God, Jesus through God, is our bread of life. And that's how we exist. But the spiritual bread that we give is heavenly. It's in the heavenly realm. It is incorruptible. And it feeds our spirit. Understand, when we take the Lord's Supper on Sunday, that cup up there represents Jesus' blood for the remission of sins. And I'm probably as guilty as this as much as anybody. I say this in my prayers a lot, and I always stress the importance of Jesus' blood, because it cleanses what? It cleanses our sin. It takes away our sin. Jesus' blood was pure and holy and shed on that cross. I don't give enough emphasis to the bread in my mind. When I read this the other day, it made me think. When I think about the bread, that bread represents the living body of Christ. The Jesus Christ that you and I know, that walked around on this earth, that did good to all men, that was compassionate, that was loving. That is the living bread. Okay? And that bread represents his body, his living body, when he was a man living on this earth. Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that physical body, we know, as we said with the Hebrew word for cake shalah, it was pierced, punctured, wounded, broken. In a sense, broken spiritually. We know he had no bones broken. Okay, we know that by Scripture. He was hung on a cross. And that is the body. When we take that communion, that bread represents the body of Christ. And again, I'm as guilty as anybody. I didn't recognize the significance of that as much as the cup and the fruit of the vine and the blood. I guess I always was a little more favorite towards that. That meant more to me until I read this the other day. That body that Christ hung on the cross, that body that lived, that body that shows me today, thousands of years later, how to live my life. That is the body of Christ that we celebrate each Lord's Day in our Jesus Christ. So when we commune with God and Jesus on Sunday, we are breaking bread with them, and that is the bread of life. Now, getting back to Scripture, if someone would like to read 35 on down to 40 for me right now, please. John 6, 35 through 40. Okay, there's some key points here. Jesus Christ, our bread of life, did he just come into existence when he was born of a virgin? No. He always was. He was there from the beginning. He was pre-existent. He has seen God. He's from God. He's of God. So this bread is eternal. When Jesus came to this earth, this bread of life is eternal. It went way back before we ever knew time, and it's going to go on forever. Okay? He had a divine presence. He had a divine purpose. God sent Jesus to do this job for him, and Jesus willingly accepted. This bread, again, gives us spiritual life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? What does this scripture mean? What does this scripture mean that I just read? Matthew 6, 25. Is not this life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? Okay, let me go a little further with you. Has anybody ever had a hobby? Has anybody ever had a goal that they set in their life, something that they wanted to do? Right now, a goal of mine in particular, earthly goal, is I play a lot of golf and I'm trying to break this one scoring barrier. That's a goal of mine. Okay, guess what's going to happen when I get that goal, if I get that goal, when I keep working at it? I'm going to feel some satisfaction, but it's going to go away. I can pursue this job, this house, this car, this relationship, things of this earth, anything it can be, stuff, material blessings. I can pursue all these things. And they offer you some short-term contentment, don't they? But the God and Jesus that I've learned to know and understand through the scriptures and the Bible are telling us what right here in this verse? Is not life more than the food and the body than the raiment? There's something bigger than the things of this world. And that is our relationship with Jesus Christ and God. And Jesus is that bread of life. And when we have a relationship with Him, we're not going to hunger. We're not going to reach that goal and say, what's next? An earthly goal and say, well, okay, I've fulfilled that, and then that's that. We continually strive and progress towards heaven. And we have that goal. So many times, people of the world and people of the church realize after a lifetime that things of this world just don't satisfy you. You can have all the money in the world. How many times have you ever seen these big celebrities and they have all these problems? Got all the money in the world. They got problems. Have everything they would ever want. And they have problems. So we see that there's something bigger. And there's something that feeds our soul and our heart and our spirit. And that can't be found in anything in this world. King Solomon found that out. A man of great riches. But he was nothing without God. Nothing. Let's read Ecclesiastes 3:11. If someone would read Ecclesiastes 3:11. Ecclesiastes 3:11.
He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end.
Yes. The pursuit of material things will never satisfy our spiritual hunger. It cannot. Okay, I've tried in this world to appease myself with things of this world, whether it be a car, whether it be going to an Ohio State football game. A lot of fun. The next day, the next week, that joy subsides. Okay, all these goals that I've had, wanted to be a teacher, I attained that. Okay, enjoy doing that. But that's not been the fulfilling moment in my life. The fulfilling moment in my life as I get older is realizing that God put me on this earth to make a difference in the people's lives around me, to serve other people, to help other people, to be the best person that I can be. And He has taught me through His Son, Jesus Christ, to be a servant. And I think as we all get older, we see we see that the only way we can be fulfilled in this life, and I guess unless I'm the only one that's this way, we've tried other things. And we realize the only fulfillment spiritually in this world is Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 3. Okay, now going back as I started at the beginning of class, God, when the Israelites were in the wilderness grumbling, he sent them down what? Manna from heaven. What did that manna do? Okay, it sustained their physical life. Okay? God could have did anything he wanted, and he could have had it come up from the ground. I believe there was a reason he had that manna come down from heaven, which is bread, which sustains life. Then a few thousand years later, who came down from heaven? He sustains life, transitioning from the physical now to the spiritual. And there is a lesson there, again, and it just... it's so magnificent to me, just the little nuggets that I see going back, as I alluded to earlier, on the table where there was frankincense. Just that little thing. I never caught this before. The frankincense was burned. Where else was frankincense common as a gift to our Lord and Savior? At his birth. Another, there's just little things throughout the Bible that is just magnificent. And if God was a writer like we have here on earth, okay, which he's not, he's God, he had something in Genesis that he knew was going to take place 2, 3, 4,000 years later, and everything God had in mind ties together. God doesn't make things up. If you've ever watched a movie and a sequel comes out, sometimes they don't flow together and something's missing. Okay, God doesn't make things up as he goes. He had a plan at the beginning of time. He knew Jesus was coming. He knew mankind would fall. He knew I would be born and teaching at this moment right now. He didn't make me do that, but God knows that. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He knows everything. He sees everything. He knows the hairs on my head. We serve a great God. And I'm just trying to reiterate, as you study the Bible deeper and deeper and deeper and look at some of the little things that God has done thousands of years apart, it is just magnificent, the brilliant mind that God has. Just magnificent. And I'm in such awe of the great God that we serve. And it is so humbling to know that we serve someone like that, that we know, and that gives me my faith, that I know that I might not understand why this is happening to me, but I have a faith and trust in the God above that he cares so much about me and my soul and my life that he's going to get me where I need to go if I keep my faith and trust in him. And he is the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the bread and sustainer of life. And we see here in Deuteronomy that this bread that come down from heaven sustained them physically, but it wasn't meeting their spiritual needs. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Okay, so as the bread of life, as a sustainer of life, Jesus coming from God, he was divine. He's telling us here that the only way you can get to God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. not Muhammad, not someone on Sunday morning telling you to do this and that and you will be saved, not by any man, by any pope, any organization, only through Jesus Christ can you get to know the Father in heaven. Only through Jesus Christ. He can't be any more clear than that. And there's people in this world that make a lot of money. They're very prestigious, have high levels of power. They're in upper management, if you will, in some of these religious groups. And if they would simply read that, I do not need to go into a booth and confess my sins to have Jesus Christ forgive me. I can do that by myself. Now, there's times where I do need to go and have confess a sin publicly or to another person, but only through Jesus Christ. There's no man. And that was the problem at this time. They saw Jesus threatening their power. Okay? The priests. Well, if Jesus now does these things, it was challenging their livelihood. And that wasn't what they wanted. And thankfully, there were some people that listened to Jesus Christ. And his message was proclaimed and brought forward to how we have it today. Exodus chapter 16, verse 14 through 15. Exodus 16, 14 through 15.
When the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine, flake-like thing, fine as a frost on the ground. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" And they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat."
Okay. So in talking about this bread of life, again, where did this bread come from? Where did it come from, ultimately? Okay, from heaven and from God. Okay, John chapter 6, verse 32. John 6, verse 32. Okay, again, he is telling them, Moses did not give this bread to you. It still came, although Moses was leading you, it didn't come from Moses, it came from God. And he's trying to get them to understand that come from God. Who else come from God right now? Who's living in their presence? Our Lord and Savior. He come from God. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 through 24. And this is, hopefully, you've read this before, but hopefully after studying some things and understanding that Jesus is the bread of life, that we can only be fulfilled through him spiritually. Let these words now speak to you with that in mind. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth consume and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. It therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So, we are being told right here, don't lay up treasures, things of this world. They pass, they go, you can't take them with you. Okay, you may own a house. If you don't pay your taxes, you'll find out how quickly you don't own it. But you may own a house, but it's God's. When you leave, it's no longer yours. It goes on someplace else. So I would like to conclude. Is that the 5 minute? Okay. I would like to conclude by reading in its entirety John chapter 6 on down through the end of the chapter. And it's very powerful. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have seen me, and yet believe not. All that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone that beholdeth the Son and believeth on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews therefore murmured concerning him, because he said, I am the bread which came down out of heaven. And they said, is this not this Jesus, who, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How doth he say now, I am come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he that is from God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth hath eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which cometh down out of heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Ye and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. If I told you you could go home tonight and open up your refrigerator or cabinet and find some type of food there that you could eat, and you would live forever. You'd never hunger again, and you would live forever. You'd probably eat that food. Well, I'm telling you, we have a Lord and Savior, and this message needs carried out into our workplaces, our communities, and into the world, that there is a bread of life out there, that if you partake of this, you will never die. You'll never hunger and thirst again. You have a friend and a leader and a confidant to take you through the perils of this world, and you'll never, ever, ever again want spiritually. Our God will give us all that we want, and he will lead us and take us and give us the true bread of life that nothing upon nothing in this world can give us. Not cars, not fame, not fortune, not friendships, relationships, power. Am I missing other things of this world that people generally view in high esteem? And there's probably others. In verse 52, continuing, the Jews therefore strove one with another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus therefore said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have not life in yourselves. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So how do we get, at the end of this lesson, how do we get this bread of life? How do I get the bread of life? I have it right now. Okay? There are people here that have it. How did you get the bread of life, or how can we tell someone else about the bread of life? And understand, everybody in this room understands when I say bread of life. If you went tomorrow and told somebody you work with and said this same thing. Jesus is the bread of life. I know that sounds simple. You've been in the church sometimes 10, 20, 30 years. You understand the word, phraseology. Other people might not understand that. So explain to me how you would tell them, what is this bread of life? I don't understand. You're saying Jesus is the bread of life. Somebody summarize for me what is the bread of life and how you get it.
Believing in God and being baptized, buried, and contacted with others.
Believing in Jesus Christ, confessing your sins, repenting of those sins, changing your life, and giving your life to Christ and being baptized as he was baptized and living faithfully for him. That's how you receive the bread of life and will no longer hunger. Thank you.